Hello, guys. So, some of you may have seen me doing these or posting these online. And a bunch of people have been asking me how to do more painty stuff. I want to start off by saying, you know, people approach me about things thinking I know what the hell I'm doing. I really don't. And you hear a bunch of artists say, like, I don't know what I'm doing. And they clearly do because they have a process and they follow it. Each one of these paintings you see here kind of followed a different set of rules every time. This is actually problematic, and one of the issues I have as an artist is that I am inconsistent with my steps. I'm too exploratory. But while I was doing these, I've been trying to break down some important things. I'm going to be using a bunch of brushes, and it'll look kind of crazy. I'm going to move this up here so you guys can actually see this and put it in a folder. Oops, need to get them out there. But you're gonna want to say, hey, what's this brush do? What's this brush do? I want this brush. And I'll make these brushes available, or at least the values here available to those who want to see it while I'm doing this. So those who have my brushes, they can copy those values, because my brushes change almost constantly. And I wouldn't want to force any of you guys. If you've bought the brush set, I haven't added any new textures. So you can just kind of recreate them from what you see here. Well, at least I don't think I have, but I really don't think I have. Textures are annoying to add. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about the brushes in a way of what I want them to do. Functionally speaking, less about what the specific brush does, because let's see if I can move this up. I don't like having such a small screw it. I'll deal with the small little window here, or maybe I'll just do a screen cap at the end. A lot of these brushes, screw it. This is more beneficial to you guys. A lot of these brushes are kind of similar, but what it ends up boiling down to is that I'll grab a brush because I want it to do something specific. And how that works for me and how that works for you might be different, but for the purposes of this, I'll explain why I grabbed it, what I'm doing with it, and what the goal is. So the first thing you'll want to do is, I've actually just, this is the one I'm going to be working on. Not as a final result, but as a kind of a sample of what I'm doing here. The first thing you want to do is you can either work on the layer or work on a layer above. And you're going to want to, you want to use a brush that is, it's hard, it's not an airbrush. This is an airbrush. An airbrush is like this, which might work for you. I like a brush that's like this. It's like an airbrush, but you can really get pointed with it. It's really a really soft brush that you can still kind of get into the cracks with, whereas an airbrush, you really got to get really small, and it's always kind of blobby. With this, if I make it small, it can really just, essentially it's a ambient shadow or whatever it's called. It's a brush you use to just basically paint in where the light really can't get into. So what I'm going to just use is black, and you're going to hear, I'm going to make a new layer because I want to be able to change the color of it. Black is bad in many, many cases. Just straight up black. I've avoided it a long time. But with these images, I try to start off a little neutral with the color decisions. And then I just try to pump the values into the color later. And what I'm really just trying to do at this point is define the volumes, okay? And I'm going to do another thing that's going to help boost this. You don't want to go too crazy. You just want to kind of get those values in where they should be. So I'm going to just Go in there, throw it in there. Because we're gonna do stuff right here, and then it's gonna make more sense. So it's gonna look really gross and messy right now. And you can use a different color. You can use a saturated color if you want. And there's a bunch of ways to achieve this. So I'm gonna grab another brush here, and I'm just gonna kind of erase all this extra gunk that I don't want. Okay. Grab all that. And I'm actually gonna lighten this a lot, and it'll look way less dirty than it does right now. But what I really want, okay, then I'm gonna grab another brush. This is just a blending brush. It'll help make it less splotchy looking. Okay. The problem with blending brushes is that always blending is a double-edged sword. Here we got nice looking gradations, but then you lose a lot of your saturation and your the zest of the image. So you want to always, I'm going to just kind of erase again. So I've kind of just, I drew in a bunch of shadows, and now I'm erasing a bunch of shadows as I just try to craft a general concept of the lights. Obviously here should probably have shadow right where the lip is on the gum line. As you know, there would be no, there would be less light accessibility at this point. Probably down here as well. And, you know, blender of any kind you have. You don't have to use this one. You can use any kind of blender. And then I'm gonna lock the opacity. I'm gonna just fill this with a bit of color. Maybe go to multiply for a second. I wanna see if we can get a little more harmonious colors than a straight black. So now I have a little, so I'm going to just shift this around until I find something I like here. And you can also decrease this. And at some point you're going to pick something, and you're going to go smash. You're going to smash that right in there. and that's pretty much committed. And now you're dealing with that. Now I'm going to grab, there's a few ways to do this next step. I want to try to start getting rid of all my line art. I started with some pretty strong lines, and I want to try to get these lines to go away and look more like these, you know, to have less of a line feel to it. So there's a few ways to approach this. You can go straight up blender. I like my little hair blender thing here. It actually does a pretty good job. This is something I started using more of. You make it pretty small, it does a pretty good job, and you can come in with another blender later and make sure it blends. But you don't have to be limited. You can use a brush that has a bit of color to it that also blends. You know, sometimes I'm in the mood for this, sometimes I'm in the mood for the one that I had just previously shown you. Now I'm going to pick some colors here. Now what this brush does is essentially, it has a bit of color associated to it, so it paints color, but essentially it just kind of finds the middle ground between these two brushes, between these two colors, I'm sorry. So here you can see, when I stroke it down, it just, as you stroke more and more, it just kind of blends those two colors, but it also allows you to inject color, which is important. As you work, you'll notice that all your colors get all muddy and so forth, and one of the ways you can avoid that is just making sure you've got a really interesting color in there. So I see I'm actually blending this with a light blue or a very light cyan or whatever that is, but if I were to just straight up blend with black, you see I'm going to get a different color. And if I blend in with white, I get that, but if I get a bit of blue in there, then I have a little bit more interesting values. So the blending process, you can really incorporate some interesting colors while you're doing this, so that it's really not as boring. One of the few things, I don't really like painting that much, I'll be quite honest. It's just too many options, and it's too, I don't know, it's too whimsical or whatever. I don't know, maybe I'm gonna start liking it more. I'm having trouble with inking lately, or I'm frustrated with inking. One of the nice things you can do about color is that you can Once you've got a little bit of grasp of what it is, you can start doing bullshit and tricking people. And if you like tricking people, then you can do that with painting. Painting, when you get good at painting, it is a series of bullshit moves on your part to make people believe something that's completely insane. One of my favorite things to do is to inject colors that make no rational sense. So I have literally three primary colors: red, blue, and green. I do it here as well. I kind of like to just throw in some saturates and blend them in. Here's some good, some, if you really look close, red, green, blue, purple. I don't know why I enjoy doing that, but I do enjoy it. Here I've got some red and the blue, and here's, I find it punches up the image, some cyan. But it's also just, I kind of enjoy being able to kind of throw that in there and it not being a complete mess. And it kind of pulling that off is an interesting thing to me. So here I'm still kind of doing the whole blend process. That wasn't working, so I'm gonna go look. I'm gonna grab that color and I'm gonna inject. One of the easiest tricks you could do with here, one second, guys. I gotta just take a quick look at something here. One of the easiest tricks with coloring you could do, if you have a color wheel, is to just, if you have like something that's predominantly a certain color. So here I am in the reds. You can just go on the other side of the scale and kind of desaturate a bit. So most of my colors are here. I've gone on the opposite end. You know, they're around here. I got the opposite, and I just desaturated it. Now I can actually kind of inject those colors in. And this isn't 100% is gonna work, but you gotta make sure you got a blending tool. You're looking at the tool I'm using to blend this, so you can see the values. And if you need the textures and stuff, you just get the brush sets I sell on my site for all the textures and junk. And it's kind of crazy because it looks the color I'm painting it, but it's actually still in the reds. It just looks green because the color contrasts does that. A quick crash course in color. If you've got this color here and you paint this color, and you've got this color here and you paint this color, and it blends evenly, the color isn't going to be anywhere near here. It should be somewhere here and desaturated. And that's exactly where it is. I actually guessed it perfectly. And the way this works, if I had a triangle, it would be ex way easier to explain it, the painting triangle. But just believe me when I say your colors inch around when you blend. And if you understand that concept of your colors marching around and desaturating while you blend that, you can achieve colors you couldn't normally mentally pick, which is what painters do a lot. They'll grab two colors they know will achieve a third color, that they couldn't really. They could maybe, when they get it pretty good, they can pick out of a color palette, but they couldn't really guess accurately on when they start. And here, like I showed you again, if I do this, and then I grab this, and I do this, you know, you'll see the color marching across the palette. Oops, sorry. You can see it actually go around to get closer and closer to my initial color I picked. So here you go, original color, and it goes down, and it goes to the original color. And I encourage you, and it always seems to. It's very rare to get to the original color. So think of it this way. As it goes down from this version to this version, it actually goes down to desaturate and then back to saturate. If it didn't do that, it would just look like a rainbow, right? But that's not how it looks like when you paint. It doesn't look like a rainbow when you paint. It looks like how I'm showing you. And that's because of just colors, a bunch of complicated color theory shit that I'm not going to explain to you guys because I don't even have a good idea about how it works. But I am explaining to you that you have access to some complex painting decisions without really being that knowledgeable. And one of them is to go through the doing the secondary color across the wheel and then picking a desaturated version to pump some interesting colors into your thing. Here, let me just go back up. Let me grab that brush again. Oh, wrong brush. So you can just kind of do that. Do that. But I'm not going to do that right now because I actually want to get more get all the just the lines out first. So I'm just going to get all these lines out. Well, not totally destroying the drawing and kind of maintaining as much of it intact as possible. The initial line concepts, but not actually having any of the initial lines left over. And you do the same thing with this. You can grab the outside or you can inject more color if you want. I don't really want too much fancy color shifting going on here, so I'm just going to kind of pick a color with just a little bit more saturation in it so I can get some interesting colors blended in while I'm doing this. I find that in one of the things you have to worry about when you're doing multiply style and cell shading style is you're always putting way too much saturation into your painting. It's like one of the biggest problems because all the tools are geared towards doing that. And I find that painting, like this kind of like no lines painting stuff, you're dealing with the opposite problems. You're blending a lot and smashing colors around a lot. And you're dealing with a lot of colors being muddied up and turned to gunk. So what we're gonna do now is, now that I've got this kind of blended in as quickly as possible here, I'm gonna add a new layer. I think I'm gonna put on multiply, although I don't think I have to. And I'm gonna use a brush I use quite often, and it's these two here. And these exist in my other ink sets under different names, but they may have changed. Here you're gonna see me use them, and I'll tell you why I like these brushes. I'm gonna just get rid of that layer. These brushes, the 1645 Ink Sharp, they have a nice quality, which is they have an edge to them, so you can get some nice kind of strokey hair details and some interesting traits with them. They don't disturb the work underneath, so they don't blend them. Like, I'm painting on the same layer with the line, so if I need to add some detail, I'm not actually harming the way that the pixels are blended here. It's just like a glaze that's going over top. So it's good for adding a level of light or dark without actually changing the configuration of the actual pixels. Like, we're not moving any of those colors around, they're just darkening or lightening. So if I'm same thing for lightening, and this is what I use a lot, is, and because of the shape, it's a natural shape that isn't perfect, it actually injects some interesting forms I wouldn't normally be able to figure out or paint because it's just a little sporadic and imprecise, and that's intentional. This brush is intentionally made to be imprecise. They're pretty much the same brush, except one's a little lighter than the other. And one of the cool things is that you can just kind of come in and, without a new layer, let's say you don't want to constantly be jacking layers, and you can just come in and start really throwing in. I put some purple in here, which is because I wanted some more interesting colors in the darkness than black. So I've got this super dark purple here, giving this weird kind of, and this is what black looks like. You can still throw the black in there, but now I'm using this color. and I'm just kind of coming in, and of course you could still do another layer. I'm gonna just go back to the normal color, and let's say you don't want to deal with all this shaping and stuff, you just want to paint over. I'm gonna drop the opacity a bit because I want to be able to see where I'm erasing. So you can just kind of throw in, and I'm doing something, by the way, I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing, and I know I'd be probably a lot better artist if I could prevent myself from zooming, but god damn it, I like zooming. And it's that zooming in and out all the time is actually, you should just paint at a distance because you should be able to see your whole drawing as much as possible all times, because that's the final way people see it. They don't see the drawing. When someone first sees a drawing, they don't see it cropped in right on an eye. They see it. Here I am. You can see me just kind of throwing kind of a cast shadow here. It's just so I can kind of get some more interesting color depth. They see it, the whole image, kind of at once first. So one way to kind of solve that, I find that it helps that if you're not streaming, if you are streaming, to look at your stream browser preview, make it really big. Or if you're not streaming, you can just go into preview mode and still watch it. I think I've improved a little bit by doing that, by actually watching, looking up at another screen at a preview window instead of looking at my work, because then I can kind of have some quick, fresh eyes on it. It's kind of a weird thing that would help, but it actually kind of does. So here I am, kind of throwing in, and sometimes you'll see this little thing. I'm actually turning it into an eraser. That's a really great feature about with size. You can turn any brush into an eraser. All right, so then we got here just a little darker. Whoopsies. That's too dark. So let's go to that level I liked, which is that one. Now everything's kind of the, obviously there's no like, there's a few issues with this. Oops, I should have probably made it lighter, darker, to match the original colors I had. This image is a little boring. One of the things you can do is always kind of throw in an overlay and then throw in some colors on them. Use an airbrush tool or kind of a watercolor tool. Let's see what watercolor does. But as I said, they're kind of dangerous. Overlay is kind of dangerous because you can unnaturally. So I'm going to just kind of fill up the whole image here and drop the saturation it finds. Maybe a finer color. Like I find overlay works great if you can get in two colors. If you have the one color, it just kind of throws the whole image into the one look. So I'm going to see if I can paint these. Paint the inside a different color. So right now the rest is kind of a yellow, and then the inside are kind of a blue. So then we've got a kind of a stronger color contrast. Maybe I can shift this again. So now we have the opposite. It's got more of those green teeth. If I go blue now, the teeth go yellow. So we're kind of just slightly shifting these colors around, and maybe we can get this to look a little even stronger. One other nice thing about overlay in this kind of paint mode is that you can kind of start throwing as you do this, and if you do it kind of sloppily, you're actually starting to get little color edges that I personally like. Some people may actually hate this, and I can actually start pumping in colors, more interesting colors right into the edges, unintentionally, which is great because that's free work. And then I'm gonna have to start dealing with this thing here, the mouth here. So I'm gonna merge that down, and I'm gonna make a new thing here. I'm gonna actually do a screen. I actually really like screen if it's used on almost completely dark with full saturation. I think it does some really good cool things. One of them is to kind of really separate the value of something and lighten it. But if you can really really separate a value that, and without just killing the saturation like a multiply does or an overlay does. It's a really soft effect. So I'm gonna just kind of see if there's a color I like most. Maybe there isn't. Maybe I like a green. Let's go with a green just for fun. Because I want this to be less green, and while I'm in this layer mode, I can actually do myself a little bit of a favor. And I can grab a really soft brush. I'm grabbing the same one I was doing the shadows in, and then I can actually do like my rim light. Not that this makes any sense in a mouth. But this stuff is kind of stylistic, so I'm just gonna do it really light, really, really lightly, so that it's interesting but not too obnoxious. And then just gonna keep painting that stuff in. Maybe I'm gonna actually lighten up the brush a bit to get some of the other stuff in here. And I'm gonna go come and grab this. Grab it down. And then you can see even more interesting colors. Even more interesting colors are being kind of mashed in. It can get out of hand, of course, like anything can. Actually, I want to really stark up those shadows, so I'm going to come in and erase some of that stuff. So I got these cast shadows coming in. Not that they make any sense, they should really be going one direction. So let me maybe accentuate the one on the right, but not the one on the left. I'll correct that in a bit. And then we're done. Now we're committed to this new look and we have to deal with it, which is fine. That's part of the painting process, is committing and dealing. I'm actually not leaving many layers. I find that depending on your style and the size of the project, if there's a background, I mean, if you have a background, you should probably keep things separated so that you're not dealing with headaches because it's going to slow you down. So now that I got this, I want to start adding a little bit of detail all around. I've got a lot of colors I want, but I still don't have like the level of darkness. Like I want these to be a little darker, and I want the shadow to really be more obvious. The tongue has like no detail, so I'm gonna just kind of come in with that brush I was talking about that I like, that allows you to just kind of throw in values on top of what's already there. Now at this point, I'm gonna be honest, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just kind of taking what's been thrown there already and grabbing some colors, maybe darkening, seeing what sticks until I see. Until essentially, I'm waiting to feel something stick or a color to come and call at me, which is a little bit of a weird concept. Sometimes when you're painting, you'll be like, oh, you know, it would be really nice there, this color. And it's good to listen to that because, I mean, if you're not going to listen to yourself, to your own opinion, especially when you're doing something like painting, that's supposed to be very, soothing for people. Then, you know, when are you going to listen to yourself? So, here I have a look, and I'm just trying to add a bit of extra detail because I'm just trying to shape it. So, it's actually going to look kind of terrible, which is fine. I've got a bunch of colors around it to save me. Right now, I'm just grabbing colors. I'm painting right on the layer, and things aren't gonna look that great. And you know, at this point, I'm going, you know, I don't know if this color works, so I'm gonna go shift it some more. So I'm gonna grab a new layer. I'm gonna try overlay this time and see if I can maybe really throw in a color I like. I think I like that more. All right, and I'm gonna merge that down. And one of the things you can do at this point, and I don't suggest you do it, but I sometimes do it, is I want to actually see what the shines look like so I can get an idea. Shines should really go at the end or near the end. They cause a lot of problems. Or if they're not going at the end, they should be really limited and small and just really be a sketch of the concept. Here I grabbed another brush that's just kind of grainy because I need it to be grainy but still persistent. And now I'm gonna grab my knife brush and this one that behaves like this. I'm gonna pull these with the shape of the tongue. I'm gonna blend with the shape. I think it's really important for people to understand that your blender can only behave its best when you blend in a logical, I don't want to say logical, in a good creative direction. If you're just gonna go throw it across the whole thing without thinking, like this, it's gonna look bad. It's just gonna look washed out. You kind of have to really think about what you're doing to get the most out of this. So I want it to kind of accentuate the tongue shape. So what I'm doing is I'm pulling this across, and then because I'm pulling it across these highlights, it's actually kind of breaking them up and making them look maybe a little more natural, making them look like there's some texture detail there. Now I'm actually pulling down some dark shadows and then I'm pulling them back into the shape. Maybe I can lose the edge into the darkness. Maybe that'll help my drawing out. I don't know. Like I said, sometimes I'll get a really good result with these faces and sometimes I won't. And because I don't have a defined process, I don't have a surefire way to do it every time. But because I'm the kind of person who doesn't like to just rotely do something over and over and over again, it's very hard for me to kind of commit to one thing here. So here I have a bunch of blended details. I'm gonna grab my old brush tool I was using at the beginning and I'm gonna start just doing this here. I'm just kind of getting some of these colors in. Fixing any of the little issues I made. Another really important thing, at some point you have to kind of come in and then do really tiny shadows. And this is basically where tiny ambient occlusion shadows, where light can't get in. And they're supposed to be really small, and this kind of really sells the realism angle, because a lot of these shadows exist in this. A lot of realistic shadows exist in this incarnation only, where it's just these little tiny. Basically, you're seeing where light can't get in, but you can still see where the light can't get in. Here, I'm gonna just kind of. I think that's a bad idea. I'm gonna just paint in. No, I don't like that brush. I'm trying to get some. I'm gonna use this brush here. I want to get some of the shadows back in here from the lip, because the teeth just kind of look like they're floating there with no real. They don't really belong to anything here, so I'm going to grab the gum color, I think. What am I going to grab? Maybe this red. I really need to kind of get these teeth to really feel like they fit a lot more, so I have to kind of work at that right now, because right now they just feel like they're sitting there with no real relation to the teeth. To the mouth. So let's just work on that for a few seconds. I'm going to use another brush I like to use, but only if I have another layer, because it behaves kind of wonky without it, and that's the square brush I have. I suck, you guys. Woo! Alright, and the square brush just kind of allows you to throw in kind of blocky, blendy colors that are kind of watercolory. It's a safe way to kind of throw in shadows too, without having to use a multiply, or because, as you know, multiply has a lot of great benefits, and I find that the longer you wait to kind of throw in a multiply or overlay, the better, because those actually work best when there's more data on screen to kind of alter. So now we have some colors, some more interesting colors. I'm gonna go back and maybe throw in a shine here. I'm trying to be as subtle and sharp as possible, because teeth don't have giant, shines on them. They tend to have little tiny sharp shines. So if you do add shines, try to keep them narrow and not, don't overdo them. I'm almost overdoing them now. Then we're gonna blend this and this in, and then I gotta do a bit of blending here because we got some ugly colors. So what I'm gonna do now is I'm gonna actually blend some of these colors in using my knife. I actually used to hate this thing. I used to only use this thing for hair, and I discovered just recently how really good it is for blending values in a really nice controlled way. The part I never liked were the lines, but you know, it's so easy to just, if I really want to get rid of them, I just grab a big blending tool. Any old blending tool will take care of this thing. Let me get this back up here so you guys can see what I'm doing. You know, any old blending tool will blend that away. So worrying about that was kind of silly on my part. I'm going to grab another tool that's similar to the one I had started off with. I think this one just kind of has more grit to it and a little messier. Because sometimes it's nice to have like messy lines and junk. Yeah, I'm drunk. So I'm going to just kind of move that all in, just adding a little more interest to it and having the edge. I'm actually intentionally trying to be sloppy here because I'm trying to, I don't want to say harmonize, I want to say just, I'm trying to make the whole thing look interesting on its own, and if everything's perfect on the edge, but then the teeth are all like, have a bunch of detail, then you know, it kind of looks, has a weird contrast. But if I've got interesting little splotches, this is why I have this tool here I made. I really like this thing. It's literally built to just kind of throw in gunk. It's my painty edge tool. You know, I could probably use it on the tongue, make it look more painty, and it's like if I grabbed a dry brush and just scraped it across my canvas. That's all it really does. Across my canvas, if the canvas wasn't completely dry yet. So allows you to do that sort of interesting stuff. So I'm going to go back. So where am I at? Here? Let's see. I'm at the point here where I really need to kind of just define a few things. So let me just enhance some of my shapes. I'm gonna need to find, I think I don't have a perfect brush for this yet. I need a brush that's a bit noisy. Maybe this one. I need a brush that's noisy, like has a grain to it, but isn't perfect. So that I can really have some control over my shapes. I think the mouth needs a better color too. It's too boring. And there's some shines that I need to throw in. As soon as I throw some shines on the gums, it'll look a lot nicer too. So let me grab some colors here. I'm actually just kind of throwing in some pure blacks here, but with a blendy enough brush that I can control a bit of it. Let's see if I got another tool. I try not to use. I'm the worst person to be saying that. I try not to use too many brushes, but I do. I use too many brushes. I'm always out of brush space inside. I'm always, always, always out of brush space, and then I gotta make backups and new versions, and it's pretty, pretty freaking annoying. So I'm lying, but I'm attempting at least. So here, you know, I'm gonna do. I'm trying to throw in some interesting shapes into the mouth that they don't necessarily have to make sense. I'm just trying to make sure the focus is contrast and focus is going to the right spot. I kind of like this red kind of blend here into the mouth. So I'm going to kind of throw that in on that side. And maybe throw a bit more red in here. And the only reason I'm doing that is because I saw a bit of it happening and I liked it. So if you're gonna ask me why, for logic's sake, why I did that, I've got none. I just saw it briefly and I thought that looked neat. So we're dealing here with is the mouth. These mouths are pretty boring, and I kind of want to throw in some shapes to make it a little more interesting. And what I normally do is the stuff I was talking about, the saturated edges. One other thing I can do is there's a way to kind of throw in some really subtle. There's a few ways to throw in some subtle lines. One is to draw them and just drop the opacity. So if I do this, all right, if I do this. I drop the opacity, now I have subtle lines. What I like doing is I like doing this, and then I like grabbing the same tool again and then passing it across like this, or with an eraser. It gives me better control over it, and it gives me a little bit of texture I want. So I can do this. Because a lot of, one of the things with teeth is you can't. Although these are stylized teeth, they're by no means realistic. I need to make sure that they're kind of subtly there. And I'm gonna just do a bit of blending here. I try not to overblend, I think. We can all learn from the mistake of overblending, or if you do blend, blend with a color, or with a brush that isn't too clean, and leave the full on blending to the end. I don't know. I still don't have a good grasp on it. Right now, I'm not too excited by how. I actually want to get some color on the other side of this, so I'm gonna grab this tool and then just get some red in here. And this is what I was talking about earlier. You're free to rip me off on this one, guys. Not that you need my permission. I've seen enough different things I've done get ripped off. It's par for the course now, but I like it. I think it does cool stuff. If you looked at some of the paintings I did, you would have picked up on it immediately if you're studying it. So, you know, enjoy that. One thing I'm gonna do here is If you do do it, though, I will call you out on it. Just so you know, like, just fair is fair. I need to. I don't like how the lips are at the bottom here. This red is still pretty red. And I need to. I think I'm gonna get this brush out here. Yeah. I'm gonna get the square one out. The problem is this thing really blobs it in there. It really overrides whatever you're working on, which can be good. But sometimes you're not looking to just complete. Most of the times you're looking to maybe blend a little more. I want to get this to be more like the other one. Man, this brush is only really good, man, on a new layer. That's one of the things with size. some brushes are really great only either on other paint or not on other paint. And that's just due to its their settings, and also it's up to you to decide how that works. And sometimes they work both on both, so you gotta kind of pick and choose. I'm gonna try to put this on multiply so I can maybe preserve. That. I'm actually going to just try to make this tongue work better. One thing I know I need to do is probably just get some highlights in it, that it's mostly okay. I just need to shape it more. If I can get some interesting shapes in there, then people will accept. They'll accept my weird green tongue. Just a second. So there I go. I'm gonna blend this now. Another thing I like to do is trying to inject some nice colors into the whole, oops, into this whole area here, into the shadow zones. And I find that the shadows aren't cast enough, so I'm going to throw a multiply in with the color, see what I can get. So I'm going to try this. I'm using that Ink Sharp, which is something the tool I've been using about half the time while making this. And then down here, I'm going to try to. I'm just trying to really make it feel like there's a cast shadow here. And often you just gotta really make sure the darks are dark as they can be. There's no lip. You gotta really make sure it just goes from. And I think I'm actually ready to get even darker with this. That's one of those things you start to learn, is to not go to dark too fast. Or you just have nothing to work on. So I feel like I've gone to dark fa well enough that I can actually go pretty dark with this painting. And then I don't like this. So I'm gonna try to get, I don't like yellow. So with multiply with color, the problem is that it doesn't always work on all your colors. So sometimes you kind of have to really work in another color in there. So we'll see what works here. I'm just kind of throwing in some yellows and some yellows and oranges and whatever. And actually, I'm gonna throw in some. This is one of those bullshit things you guys see all the time. That makes no sense. This kind of edge, orange edge, should only really happen on skin. But you people put it in like everything. It's one of those. Looks like a real painting, so I'll put it everywhere thing. Same as like a desaturate. Like I could desaturate the inside of the mouth, like it's far off in the distance, but it really isn't. But you know, it sells it and people like it. So painting is whatever you want it to be, really. Now I just want to blend this a little bit. Actually, don't really like that on the teeth. It's not working on the teeth for some reason. I think it's just because it needs to be darker. I'm not sure. I think darker. I think the shine also is a conflict. Might have to deal with that color that later. Let's throw out the saturation here. Let's go with to just gray. There, that works better. And go down here. Maybe balance that out a bit more. You can see I'm just kind of using a one of my marker tools here to just kind of inject a bunch of colors. All right, merge down, and we're getting close there. There's a few things I want to do. I want to blend this color in here. So that the shadow, what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to keep the cast shadow at the base, but to have it blend out more and more, so that it looks like there's a the shadow isn't is only close to where the base of the tooth is. So I'm just using a few blenders to kind of help accentuate that visual. Without completely losing the cast shadow appeal, I've kind of started to lose it. Maybe I can kind of re-inject that in there. One of the ways to make cast shadows look like they're cast shadows is to make sure that contrast between the cast shadow and the what it's casting against is preserved. So. If I have a really strong contrast here, it looks a lot more like it's contacting or very near the shape. Here I'm trying to do the same where it's only the shadows just kind of expanding from there. Here I feel that there should probably be a lot more shadow shape without it being a cast. So I'm just gonna try to inject some dark reds to give it the appearance that the teeth is blocking out, the teeths are blocking out light without actually without actually casting any shadow itself. So now I'm going to try to throw in some colors here. Sorry, not some colors, some. I'm going to actually might use a luminosity, or the rare luminosity, Luminosities are great, but they're also dangerous, and probably at this point I've accepted they should probably only be used for special effects or fancy color effects, because they just do, they're just so strong. Right now I just kind of want to see what I can do with this, so I'm just exploring. Actually, one thing I want is a nice kind of reflected effect. It's way too late, but if I throw it to screen, screen is the cousin, the baby, the less crazy version of it. I think I might be doing this wrong. I'm gonna try to. No, I find that I find with highlights, if you can't put it in the right spot, blending's not gonna do much for you. Maybe it's the color, so let's just shift these colors around. Yeah, that works a little better. But it's still, it's not spotted. The thing with, you have to remember with specular, is that it needs to really be isolated. I find that as soon as you abuse this thing, you are made to look like the fool. Because quite honestly, yeah, sorry guys, I was just brain farted there. When you throw it in everywhere, it looks bad. It just does. So I'm trying to favor one side. I don't know. You know, and then if you don't know what to do here, just go find a reference, I guess. I should be looking at a reference, but I don't want to interrupt. This is the point where I go find a reference, because I want to make this tongue look nice, but I don't really know what I'm going to be doing. So I should really find that, but that means stopping this video and trying to remesh it all together. So I'm not going to do that, but I suggest you guys to do that. If you find yourself, you can easily find a million tongues on the internet and see how they're shined and how they look. Sometimes you gotta just go straight white too. I find that if you're having a hard time, if you just go straight up white, you get the look you need, and you just go a little, you go really sharp and really white. It's not always the case, but sometimes it really works. And then I'm gonna merge this down, and I'm gonna maybe blend it a little bit. I don't want to overblend this. Let's see if I can use this tool here. Maybe initial shape I had done wasn't ideal or wasn't working out. You know, I'm not too excited about this tongue, so maybe it wasn't the right decision the way I built it. So the way I started to render it. So maybe I learned my mistake and not use the colors I did, or try a better method. Find that a lot of the time with painting, it's not about anything more than just committing long enough to seeing the other side of the rainbow, and then going, oh, okay, and then seeing how you can get there faster. Because I find that for a lot of people that I follow that are good painters, their paintings look kind of shitty. I don't want to say shitty. They don't look amazing. They look all desaturated and they don't have all the values they need, and then right at the end they kind of pop. That's all, everything kind of falls into place. Right? And that's a lot of what it is. You're just kind of building enough so that you can work on top of something, and really your best situation is to have a good structure, a good base, and that's what everyone talks about, you know. When someone talks about having a good foundation, the foundation is for that. It's so that you're not struggling when you're trying to do this. You get your foundation fast and then you build on top of that. But you don't need it the whole way through. I don't think so. I think you just kind of need that foundation to start off, and then you can explore and do your own thing. But if you don't have a good foundation, or you overwork certain things or whatever, you know, here I can see it. I just need to mold this to be a little more round looking so it feels like an actual tooth. What do they do here? Maybe I use this tool here, Blender. No, that's the wrong tool. I want to use something that pushes it around. So this tool here will actually just kind of push colors around, which is why I like it. Push it down and around. But I can still kind of pull in colors. It's a good blender to have one that can actually push colors, so that you're not having to color pick and move colors around. You can just grab a brush and then smush it in the direction you want. It's good to shape things too. Like here, I want to shape this with the colors around it, so you can just kind of grab the colors around it and shape them. Right now, this thing, all it really needs is a little tiny shine on it to feel a little more tooth-like. Well, that sits in the shadows looking weird. More blacks. Actually, it needs a little more. I just go straight up. Throw it in the darkness. Looks like a weird baby tooth. Gonna expand it just a little bit and then get some brighter whites on this with some green. Hopefully that helps sell it more. And if it doesn't, I'm almost done anyway. As you guys have most undoubtedly gotten the picture of what I'm doing right now. Or if you haven't, you can just rewatch this video, because the process isn't going to get more involved than what I've been doing right now. This is pretty much it. I am just doing some kind of cleanup, and at this point you can just start color picking and blending and etc. You can do a final pass with multiply if you want to, like, I don't know, darken. Like, for instance, these shadows here, I'd like to really get some deeper red in there. Let's say I want to get some red right where they contact to really accentuate the difference between the dull shadow and the where the shadow is casted. Here I'm throwing a bit of red with the multiply to just make the tongue look a little more interesting, because it feels a little dull. It also makes it look like it's more alive, like there's blood in it. So that's cool. That's neato. You know. And blend that down. Grab it. I don't like how sharp these little cast things are in the back here. These little rim lights are. So I'm going to do that. And this pretty much details the process. That's it, guys. You've just watched me do it. It took an hour. Took a little longer than I wanted to, but I feel that I had to narrate, explain a bit, and though I wish it would have taken a little less time, but you know, as you improve, things get faster. And and then you get to do enjoy more of what you're doing as you get more results out in a shorter period of time. All right. Well, thanks, guys. I'll see you later. And I hope you guys learned something from this process. Take care. Bye-bye.